I really think it's being strategic in your relationships. And sometimes it means taking a job that you may not want right off the bat, but knowing that it'll give you a skill set to get you to where you need to be. And that's hard to do, but it can be important in the long run.
John Dutton.
I'm very well, thank you. My pleasure to join you.
Arman Ahluwalia.
Thank you so much, Eugene. This is quite an honor. I appreciate you you extending the offer to come here and speak today.
Pedro Diaz-Rudao.
First of all, thanks for having me and excited, you know, to be part of this podcast.
Ronan Doniger.
Huge. Thank you very much. I suppose, first of all, for having me on your show.
Dean Butchin.
The key point is ask, 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 and never give up.
And welcome to eProcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of eProcast. I'm your host, the Big E, and I'm really excited about this episode as is the last one in this challenging 2020. Yeah, so it's been more than 6 months now since this pod is live. We haven't missed a week, and it's really awesome because it really brings me happiness to create this episodes for you guys, and I hope you really get a lot of value out of these conversations. If you do so, please go on the podcast provider you're listening this to and please subscribe, rate, and review. It means a lot to us. And also, to make it even more fun, get in touch with us. All the links on all social platforms, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, are in the episode notes. There's a link to a link tree. Just head there, get in touch, let us know if you have any questions. I would love to connect with you. Let me know how I can help you in your career growth or pursuing that job or opening a business in this industry. Let's connect and grow together. I truly believe in synergy. This week, this episode goes live on the 31st of December, last day of the year. There's also going to be an episode on the 1st of January, a bonus episode. So stay tuned for that one. 2 days in a row, which is crazy. Not sure this happened before, but really excited. Anastasia, the other half of the eProcast, and myself jumped and did a little bit of mini list of what we want to do in 2021 and shared a bit of summary of 2020. So go check it out, that one as well. It'll go live on January 1st. But switching to this week's episode, I have Melissa Thompson, who is the Chief Community Officer at Indiana Sports Corp. Melissa is an awesome professional in this industry, and we talked a lot about how to attract big events like Super Bowl, NCAA championships, Final Four, and many others, and the future projects that they are working on and big events that they want to attract in Indianapolis. So hope you get a lot of value out of it. If you are an organization, a city, a team, a club that want to attract event in your town, then this episode is definitely for you. So I hope you get a lot of value out of it. Without further ado, let's dive right into it. Enjoy.
Welcome back to a new episode of eProcast. And I'm excited to have alongside me today, all the way from Indianapolis, even though I was there last week for the Colts game and visiting some friends. And actually, she was busy with a lot of stuff, which she'll tell us in a second. But I'm excited to have alongside me Melissa Thompson, the Chief Community Officer at Indiana Sports Corp. And I'm excited that I'm bringing the first woman in sports from Indianapolis on this show. So I'm really excited. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be with you and looking forward to our conversation today.
It's funny because we brought a lot of, I had a conversation with a lot of professionals and entrepreneurs in the Indianapolis ecosystem. You know, IU, Legend Born, Pacers, now 76ers, and Rugby Academy of America. And now we're getting more into a nonprofit environment, which I'm excited about. A lot of value, I believe, will thrown at the audience. So I'm really excited about this one. Why won't you just give a little bit of background? Why don't you share who you are and how you got to work in to get to work in sports?
Sure. I'm from Indianapolis, so I'm born and raised here. I grew up on the east side, so I'm very familiar with just the ecosystem here, but also very familiar with the history and the fact that Indianapolis was really, really built to be a sports town. Back in the late 1970s, the folks that were sort of leading this and had the vision for the city really decided that amateur sports specifically could be a niche for us. We have a very, very compact, walkable downtown. And so they made investments over the next 40 years to build facilities and to build hotels and convention center space, all to host big sporting events. So that's sort of the Indianapolis piece of it. But I grew up knowing that and really admiring the foresight that those folks had. I started my career working for the city of Indianapolis in several different areas. My first passion was politics. So I did some political campaigns. I worked for city government. And then as it happened through all of that, met a guy who was the president of our city council for a while and then chief of staff for our mayor, who is now the president of Indiana Sports Corp. So worked for him back in the late 2000s, early 2000s. And then I ended up leaving the city and going to work for our downtown association, Indianapolis Downtown Inc. And the city had redesigned a 3-block street ahead of the Super Bowl that we hosted in 2012 into an event venue. And so they turned it into a walkable space, a space that could be closed down to hold tailgates and concerts and parties. And so after the Super, it was the home of Super Bowl, the Super Bowl Village for the 2012 Super Bowl, which was a invention of our host committee and has since been a requirement in any city that has hosted the Super Bowl. So Indianapolis has a long history of creating new ideas that an event owner will then take and make a part of their event going forward. The concerts for the Final Four is an example of that. Read to the Final Four is an example of that. Super Bowl Village is an example of that. So anyway, so after the Super Bowl, the city wanted to make it a permanent event venue. And so I became the venue manager for Georgia Street, where we held tailgates and concerts and just all kinds of, we held weddings out on the street. People did cocktail receptions, all kinds of interesting different events. Probably our favorite is Food Truck Fridays. So at the same time that the street was becoming popular, food trucks were becoming popular. And so we would just set up 10, 12 food trucks every Friday afternoon, and folks from around would come and enjoy the beautiful scenery of downtown, but also grab some lunch. So I did that for several years. I really enjoyed that. And then left there and went, and that's when I first became really involved in Sports Corp as a volunteer. So Sports Corp used Georgia Street as a, to do tailgates for Big Ten football, to do tailgates for other things that they were hosting. And so I started to get to know those folks really well and really start to admire what they do and become really want to go to work there. So I did leave downtown Indy for a while and went and kind of worked for a small consulting firm doing event planning. And then my boss, who was at the city, became the president of the Sports Corp and asked me to come over. And he had some folks that had been there for a long time who were leaving and asked me sort of to take on the role there. As a chief community officer and really focusing on our bids for new events and how we incorporate our community, but also our statewide organization and how we promote sports tourism from a statewide perspective. So that's kind of how I ended up there. Been there now for 2.5, almost 3 years, and have had and survived a pandemic so far. Where sports about died. Sports will never die, so that's kind of how I got there. It's a little bit of what I do, which I can go into more of that if you want me to, but yeah, that's kind of how I got there.
Melissa, let's talk about more about the moment when you took this decision of pursuing a career in sports. Like, why sports, and why it made you also, you know, make this decision? Crucial point.
Sure. Well, like I said, first of all, I love sports. Huge basketball and football fan. Even enjoy baseball sometimes, but huge sports fan. But also, I think the biggest thing for me is that I'm a huge fan of the organization. I love Indiana Sports Corp. I love what they do for our community. And I wanted to be a part of the organization. I liked the culture that they had. I liked the sports culture that they had. So a lot of it for me was really more about the organization. Yes, I love sports, and I know that we can massively impact our community through sport. But for me, it was more about the organization and having an opportunity to use sports to impact our community.
Can you share more about your current, you know, responsibilities mm-hmm. in the current role as the CCO for the Indiana Sports Corp?
Sure. So the biggest responsibility that I have is our bids for new events. So the way most big sporting events, NCAA championships, Olympic trials, Olympic sporting events happen, is that the event owners. So for instance, let's take the NCAA, for example. They put out to bid all of their championships, and they then allow cities to respond to those bid requests with the best offer that they have. And so the biggest part of what I do is I coordinate the bid response for our city. So that means working with our venues, our hotels, our community groups, as well as our staff, to put together a package that event owner may want to cause them to bring their event to Indianapolis. So we do a variety of events. We do very small national championships for small national governing bodies. So for instance, USA Diving, we do a lot of their events at the IUPUI Natatorium, all the way up to a men's Final Four. And then next year we'll do the college football playoff as well. So we have a wide variety of events that we do. So that's one thing. I also do all of our government affairs. So part of what we do in working to put together those bids is working with our state and local government. And I do all of that interaction with our governor's office, government agencies, and then the mayor's office. And then we manage a statewide association of sports tourism professionals. So Indiana is a great place to host an event, whether it is a Final Four or it's a youth sporting, rugby tournament or baseball tournament. And so we work with our tourism officials across the state, and that falls under me as well. And then all of our community projects, things that we're doing in reaching out to other community groups, the ways we're involved in our community, and how we're spending our dollars within the community, that all falls under me. So, and then in the last month and a half, I've become really good at COVID testing. That has been added to my plate in the last 2 months. So I learned about all you can learn for how to test, where to test, when to test, and what to test. So that's been an interesting experience for sure.
No, you have to, I guess we all pivoted somehow during the COVID.
Yep. I routinely have boxes of rapid tests in my office, and people are like, "Dude, just sit there. Yep. Until I need them." Yep.
That's funny.
Now, for the record, I don't perform a test. I don't know how to. I don't want to know how to. I have a medical professional to know that, but.
No, that's cool. And Melissa, to your point, you mentioned earlier about the rich history of sporting events in Indianapolis. Is there, I would put into perspective Indianapolis and my hometown, Kishinev. It's kind of the same size city. I did some research, it's around 850,000 mm-hmm. population, same as my hometown. And is there, but the sports culture is amazing. And I just wanted to my question, is there any, was there any particular sport event that really boosted the sports phenomena, if you will, in the area?
Yeah, absolutely there was. It was 1987. It was the Pan Am Games. And like I mentioned, in 79 was when the Sports Corp was founded, and the real direction to, or the real motivation to put Indianapolis on the map as a sports city began. In the mid 1980s, the folks that run the Pan Am Games, they were supposed to do the Pan Am Games, I believe somewhere in Spain. And for other reasons, they had to back out and couldn't do it about a year before the Pan Am Games were supposed to be held. And Indianapolis stepped up to the plate and said, we'll do it. And they figured it out. And I remember as a kid, I remember the event being in the city, and it was such a big, amazing event. Now, I mean, I was 8 years old at the time, but I still remember, like, where I lived was out near, we have an army base or a military base in Indianapolis it used to be, but it's close to where I grew up. And they would fly helicopters back and forth, because that's where all the athletes were staying. And they would fly helicopters back and forth to downtown. Now, it's literally a 15-minute drive, but they would fly them in helicopters. I remember as a little kid, these helicopters flying over my house, athletes that were going to compete in the Pan Am Games, which is just, you know, and I think when you're from Indianapolis and you're the least bit civically engaged, that spirit of, we all know what we're here for, right? We know what this city is about. And we know how we succeed, and that's through sports. So it was really the 1987 Pan Am Games. And then moving on from there, we have an amazing relationship with the Big Ten. We have hosted their women's tournament. Their women's tournament has been in place for 26 years, and we've hosted 25 of them.
Wow.
We have a great relationship with them. We have gone back and forth between Chicago and us, who host the men's tournament. And then we are the only city that has ever held their football championship. So it was the relationship between our organization and our city and the Big Ten that created their football championship in 2011. So we have been able to develop really strong relationships with people who have events. Obviously, the NCAA is located here, and they moved here because of that rich history. So having them in our backyard, and they know that they can come to us whenever they need something. Like, this is, you know, the conversation right now about hosting the entire basketball tournament in Indianapolis. So, I mean, they know that we're going to deliver for them. And so just building that relationship with those event owners, so that they know they have someplace that they can go that's always going to deliver at a high level for them.
Talking about big events, you've attracted a lot on the course of the entire Indiana Sports Corp history. And, you know, Indianapolis being such a big sporting hub, if you will, in the West. Let's jump a little bit more into the bidding process. And of course, we can do this in relationship with the upcoming events in Indianapolis in 2021. Of course, this year, 2020 was a bit of a downside, but for the record, last week you had a very important event. It was the Big Ten football championship. Uh-huh. It was the Ohio State against Northwestern University.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that was cool, even in the middle of pandemic, without fans, unfortunately, but you still made it happen. I'm talking about a process, because you definitely talked about having a lot of processes, a lot of protocols. What is an normal, and because I think this is going to bring a lot of value to someone who wants to, organization small or big, who want to work on a bid, for example, for an event to bring them into their own town. How, and you can touch base about you can touch base a event that's going to be in, let's say, next year in Indy, or you know, another event that happened in the past. Can you share more about this, about the processes, and when it comes to bidding for an event?
Sure. So the biggest thing usually that a event owner is looking for is what's going to set you apart? What sets your city apart from other cities? What makes you different? So the very first bid that I worked on when I came to Indiana Sports Corp was a water polo event with FINA and USA Water Polo. So FINA is the governing body, the international governing body for aquatic sports. And They are hosting it was supposed to be in 2020. It's now been pushed to 2021, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it's still going to happen. But they were really looking for something that was going to set our city apart, right? Like, we have one of the fastest pools in the country for when it comes to swimming. We are known for our pool, for our natatorium. It's not necessarily tested for water polo, but I've held a few water polo events. And so, but the guys at USA Water Polo had never been here before. They had never really spent any time at the natatorium. And so they came out here and they looked at it, and they were so impressed. They were so impressed with the walkability of downtown. All of their athletes could stay at a hotel downtown and really walk to the natatorium. And then just the amenities. And so a lot of what people are looking for is your availability is, and are your facilities available? Are your hotels available during the time frame that they want to host their event? And then what's the little extra that you're doing? One of the things that Indianapolis does so well is we have a database of over 10,000 volunteers. So you can come to Indianapolis and you can have really professional people who are willing to volunteer to help your event be successful. Like I said, we are walkable. Our downtown is walkable. We have great restaurants, great things to do when you're not competing, or if you're a fan, when you're not watching your athlete compete. We have a great state park right in the middle of downtown that is great for exploring. We have a great zoo, just all kinds of great amenities. And so those are the things that people are looking for when they want to come to your city. And then how affordable is it? Because at the end of the day, most of the revenue that's coming in from event is from ticket sales and from sponsorships. And so do you have a community that's willing to support those events? That's why swimming is so popular here and why we do swimming events here, because we have, outside of Southern California, we have one of the biggest swimming communities in the country. And so whenever we host a swimming event, we know we can sell tickets, right? And so Those are the things that they're looking for, right? There are some sports that are really, we're never gonna host the Frozen Four, right? the NCAA's ice hockey championships. It's just never going to happen. First of all, because we don't have two sheets of ice in any one facility. Also, because we just don't have the same kind of fan base here that we do, say, for basketball or for. And so I think that there's a niche for certain sports for different communities. Columbus, Ohio, great place to host the Frozen Four. And so it just really depends on what the sport is. You know, there's times when we look at something and we're like, okay, this is a reach sport for us. And so, you know, we're in a conversation now for Rugby World Cup for 2027 or 2031. You probably know this, that's getting to go out to bid. And we're right now part of that conversation. We might get cut at some point, but we're part of the conversation now because it would be a stretch for us to do a rugby event, but it would be a lot of fun. And we feel like we could do a good job. So a lot of the bidding process is just getting everybody at the table. Your venues, your hotels, your conventioners, visitors bureau, and then your volunteers, and knowing what you can provide as a city, and then making the best presentation that you can do to that event owner for those things.
This sounds good in a process. What are the most common mistakes that usually you found out on course of you know, bidding process? Maybe you've We can talk about some of the failed bidding that you've done in your career.
Usually, it boils down to money. In addition to all those things, a lot of times event owners want you to pay a bid fee.
Okay.
And a lot of it boils down to money. And one city over another can pay more than you can. And so, a new thing that has come about recently is, you have cities that have bid funds, and they literally have tax dollars that are put into a fund that allow them to use those dollars to help bid. Texas has a statewide bid fund. Ohio, Louisiana, I think, Georgia, all have statewide bid funds. And so that allows them to compete at a different level than other states who don't have that. So that's becoming a huge part of the bidding process, is how much money are you in addition to all those other things, how much money are you willing to throw in? And that's usually why you lose. We know that we're competitive with just about any other big city, even though we're a mid-sized city. But when it comes down to dollars, sometimes that's how we lose out. And then there's other little things that happen. Your hotels tell you they're available, and then all of a sudden they're not. They had double booked, you know, a convention and your event. You know, sometimes that happens. But for the most part, it's usually we know that we can compete, and we know we can put together a bid that can compete. It just is a matter, and typically it comes down to money.
Right. And you talked a bit about the Rugby World Cup 2027 and 2031. Those ones are usually announced like 5 years or something before, or 4 years before the event. What about the other events? Like how much in advance, how much time in advance you should submit your bid to host this kind of events?
So big events like that are usually 4 to 5 years out. So a Final Four, college football playoff, Super Bowl, NFL draft, All-Star game is 2 to 3 years out. Mm-hmm. But those big ones, they really like to give you enough time to start planning, because you need to really start planning almost 2 years out. So they give you enough time to sort of work up to it. Other events like this, for instance, this water polo event that was supposed to originally be in April of 2020. And we were awarded that event in October of 2019. So we had like 6 months to plan. Now the pandemic, and it got pushed a year.
Yeah.
It just depends on the governing body. And then the problem is, in a city like ours, where we're one of the number one convention cities in the country, we're competing all the time with our convention center for hotel space and convention space. And so longer we have to plan out, the better, because we have conventions that are signed through 2030. And so we're always trying to fit our sporting event. They plan their conventions out 10, 15 years in advance. They know where they're going to go and they're done.
Wow.
But sports event owners are not as on the ball with it as conventions are. So it is always a little bit, it's a struggle to find space sometimes, especially when you have event owners that are not booking that far out. Now, most of those folks that are doing events like that or that are not booking that far out are usually smaller events, and we can figure out ways to fit them in. But that can be a challenge. Yeah. So but the big ones, they typically give you plenty of time.
So basically now in Indy, you're competing with the convention center, like you're adapting to their schedule rather than vice versa, right?
Yes, yes. Now I will say, like in Indianapolis, we all work really well together.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my first call is to them to see what, you know, when we find out about something, my first call was always to them. And so there, we figure it out and we all work together really well. I mean, we know myself and the girl who does sports sales, or the woman that does sports sales at the convention or at Visit Indy, we know what's on the horizon, right? We know enough of the events that are out there. And so we have a good idea, and she's able to help sort of play jigsaw puzzle and help us figure it out. But yeah, it takes a great relationship with Visit Indy to be able to get it done.
Melissa, talking about future and what are the events that you have on your dream list to get into Indy?
We would love to host an NFL draft. That would be a great thing. We already host, and a lot of folks don't know this, we've hosted the NFL Combine for 35 years. And so it kind of quietly comes and goes every February. Very few people know they're in town. But, you know, that's one of the NFL draft is one of the only NFL properties that we've never hosted. And we would love to host an NFL draft. Obviously, I mentioned Rugby World Cup. And then we are in the bidding process again with the Big Ten for 2023 through 2030 for the football championship and men's and women's basketball. So those are events that we're hoping to bring back for the future. They've been, it's been a great partnership for us, and we want to continue that. We also are in the bidding process for the Olympic trials for swimming with USA Swimming for 2024. So we're real excited about that one as well, and hope to hear something really soon about that and whether or not we get to continue in that process. It would be the first time that we would build two pools in Lucas Oil Stadium. So it'd be the first time that they ever hosted a swimming trial in an NFL stadium. Yeah. Yeah.
You should have seen my face. I mean, the audience. I'll put this clip on social. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Your face was great.
In the Lucas Oil,
that is what we would do.
Two swimming pools in the Lucas Oil Stadium.
Swimming pools in Lucas Oil Stadium. So, back in 2004, Indianapolis hosted the FINA World Cup Swimming Championship, and it was a pool built at the time it was Conseco Fieldhouse. Now it's Bankers Life Fieldhouse, where the Pacers play. So there's precedent for that. The swimming trials are right now held in Omaha in an old basketball arena where they do build a pool in a basketball arena, but they are looking to expand that event and build pools in an NFL stadium. So it would be a big lift, but it would be a lot of fun. The atmosphere, like I mentioned, we have a great swimming community here. So we really think that it could be a great event for Indianapolis. So
that's cool. That's cool. That sounds like a big plan.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, and then we have we just were awarded 14 NCAA championships from 23 through 26. We have another Final Four in 2026. So we have a lot already on our docket. But like you said, there's some things that we're kind of going after that we've never hosted before. We'd love to host a WrestleMania. We haven't hosted a WrestleMania since the late 80s. So we would that again. Some people don't think that's a sport, but
it's fun. It's entertainment.
The impact of the city is great. So we would love to do that again too.
Yeah. Melissa, now let's do a little bit of transition and to get a little bit closer to the mission of this podcast and, you know, getting to give a hand to the listeners who want to get into sport, to work in sports. And namely, first of all, congratulations on having those. You mentioned 10,000 volunteers helping you out, ready to jump on board whenever it's needed. First question that comes to my mind, how did you get to grow this big community of volunteers?
Sure. Well, the 1987 pandemics were a good start. And we still have people who routinely volunteer.
And the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the Super Bowl. Right, exactly. We still have people who volunteer for us that volunteered for those 87 PNM games.
Wow.
Definitely have people who volunteered for Super Bowl that still volunteer for us. It's kind of like I mentioned, like if you grew up here and you're the least bit civically minded, like you are bought into the idea that sports drives this community. And I think especially in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, you did have a sense of real community pride and everybody knew this is what we were about. And so everybody wanted to be involved. And going into the Super Bowl, where we used almost 7,000 volunteers and had, you know, thousands of volunteer shifts every day. And people were just engaged and wanted to show off our city. And, you know, just like when you go to a Chick-fil-A and they, you know, they tell you, I can't even remember what they say there now.
My pleasure.
Yes, you're my pleasure. If you were in Indianapolis, everyone was telling you to have a super day. And so no matter where you went, everybody said, have a super day, you know, whatever. So, you know, everybody just buys into it. And honestly, one of the things I think we've struggled with in the last couple of years is we almost have an age gap in volunteers. And we have to figure out, and we're starting to do that and become more engaged as part of what I do as well. But engaged with younger groups who may not have grown up here because we have a huge influx. I just heard yesterday that Indiana census count is going up by like 25,000. And we have all these people who are moving here that don't understand that story and where we've come from. And so it's our job to tell that story and to make sure that we're cultivating volunteers going forward so that we don't someday end up with a lapse in volunteers because all those folks who, you know, did volunteer at the 87 PNM games are now unable to do it, right? So we're just continuing to build that pipeline and to tell that story so that people want to be engaged.
You know, having a lot of events requires a lot of volunteers, I always say that this kind of events cannot happen without, you know, help of the volunteers. So that's huge. Is there a way you're maybe a specific secret way you're motivating them? You mentioned the 1987 volunteers who volunteered that year. Is there a way you engage with them? How often you engage with them? Are you making any specific events to make them feel special?
Sure, we do a lot of things. Logoed gear goes a long way. So when somebody's walking around with, you know, I still routinely wear my my quarter zip from the Super Bowl, right? Like, and so it's one of my favorite clothing items. Stuff like that goes a long way, but we also try to just make people feel like they're in the know. So it's communicating a lot with them. It's telling them what's happening. This year, one of the ways that we pivoted, instead of doing a lot of we couldn't do events. And so we started doing a lot of virtual stuff and a lot of digital content. We started a program called Inside the Huddle, which was interviews with people who were in the sports tourism industry or in sports. And, you know, Tony Dungy was on there. I'm trying to think of all the people that were on there. We interviewed Joey Chestnut, who is the world champion for eating. Yeah, so just a different way to engage those people in our community when they couldn't come out and volunteer. And so we have one event that we own, and it's called the Indy Ultimate, and it is a about a 5.5 mile race. It's not even a race, but a 5.5 mile run. It allows you to experience downtown Indianapolis in a different way. So if you live here, it's highly possible you've never been on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium. But if you run the Indy Ultimate, you get to go into Lucas Oil Stadium. You get to have the announcer that announces Colts games announce your name as you come in. You get to pick a field goal on the field and the Indy 11 play there. So you get to kick a soccer goal on the field. So The Indy Ultimate allows you an opportunity to do kind of behind the scenes experiences. You get to run the bases at Victory Field. You get to, a couple of times you've been able to go into Bankers Life Fieldhouse and shoot a basket from the floor. So that event, anyway, that's a really great event that we put on every year. But this year, it was one of the only events that happened during the summer, because we were able to, people were able to socially distance and be able to do it. And our volunteer shifts for that event filled up in like 2 hours. Because people had been engaged and missed being able to volunteer. And so they were on it. They wanted something to do. They wanted to be involved. They wanted to be back downtown. So, I think it's just a matter of communicating a lot and giving them content, helping them to feel in the know so that they are able to continue to spread the message and feel like they're a part of something bigger.
And getting more on the business side as well, you know, for young guys and gals who want to work in sports, can you share more and elaborate more on how the structure within, let's say, we can talk about Indiana Sports Corp inside a non-profit organization, how the career growth goes, and what structure inside the organization is.
Sure. One of the things I can tell you is internships are really important. Internships and relationships. And I think about half of our event team right now are all former interns. So they took 6 months, and actually in Indiana Sports Corp, we don't even pay our interns.
Right.
Paid internship, but it's invaluable experience. You get to work on big events. You get to do things that you would never have been probably allowed to do in another internship. Certainly not any of the internships that I did was in school. Did I get the experience that our interns get? So that's really important. But relationships is also really important. And relationship building and strategic relationship building is really hard. It can almost be a full-time job, but it is so important. Frankly, I wouldn't be in the job that I'm in today if it weren't for that relationship that I have from 15 years ago with a guy that I worked for before, right? Like, those are the kind of things that get you to where you want to be. And, you know, just continuing to cultivate those relationships and make them real. Make these people your friends. Like, know who are those decision makers are. but also it's just a lot of hard work. It is a lot of hard work. I have moved more bike rack and fencing than I ever wanted in my entire life. But people know that I work hard, right? And so that translates, if I'm willing to do that, then I'm probably willing to stay late and work hard and do other things. And so it really is a lot of hard work. There's no getting around it. There's no shortcutting it. It just is hard work and building relationships.
Right. And related also to this, what would be your ultimate advice for those guys and gals who want to work in sports, not only in Indianapolis?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we have to have competitors somehow, right?
Right. So, It's more fun.
It is more fun. It is. It absolutely is. Like, it wouldn't be any fun if I was winning everything.
Yep.
So I think my best advice is just work hard and be willing to do whatever is asked of you. Like, I think maybe we talked about this last week. If I never thought that my job description was going to be learning how to do COVID testing, right? Like, here we are. And so, you know, I could have said, no, that's not in my job description. Somebody else can do that. But then that hampers my team approach, right? Like, then I'm not part of the team anymore when I'm saying no. So I really think it's being strategic in your relationships. And sometimes it means taking a job that you may not want right off the bat, but knowing that it'll give you a skill set to get you to where you need to be. And that's hard to do, but it can be important in the long run. And so I think the willingness to do whatever and to, you know, and sometimes, yeah, you're not going to make, you also don't make a lot of money in this business. So that hopefully your listeners understand that. It's a lot of fun. It's really rewarding, but you don't make a lot of money and you're never going to unless you're like own an NFL team. And most people don't. So there's only 32 of those.
Right.
You know, just understanding that it's going to take a lot of hard work, but it's really fulfilling and it's a lot of fun. And you get to have experiences that you never thought you were going to get to experience. You know, to your point from earlier about the Big Ten football championship, there were 2,500 people in that building. And I'm one of them, right? Like I got to have that experience. And I'm not bragging, but those are the kind of things that happen, right? Like that you get to be a part of. And so, it's being willing to do whatever is necessary and just go for it.
I'll invite you now to play with me the hot stone. So it's AKA questions, quick questions. Okay. To get to know you more and okay. Your perspective as well. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So the hot stone with Melissa Thompson starts right now. What is your favorite athlete of all time?
Probably Kobe Bryant.
What is your favorite female athlete of all time?
Dara Torres. She's a swimmer.
Oh, cool.
42-year-old Olympian.
It's the first time we hear this name on the pod, so that's cool. What is your favorite event of all time?
Super Bowl.
And is it specific the one in Indy?
No, I've actually had the opportunity to go to a couple, and just the Super Bowl in general. In fact, the second one that I went to, I didn't even get to go to the game. It was the one in New York. It was 2 years after ours. But just the atmosphere and the energy that it creates in your entire city, the parties, like it, the Super Bowl is just something unlike anything else. Four is way up there too, because it is a very similar feel.
Yeah, and it's in like February, so definitely it's a cold event. Okay, this year could be, I mean, not this year, but next year should be better in Tampa. It's going to be, the weather should be better.
Right.
What is your favorite moment you have experienced during your time at Indiana Sports Corp?
That's a great question. I think it's when you get news about a bid, that you won a bid. That's usually my favorite, because it's just all your hard work, right? Like all your hard work comes together and you get to know if you did it. So in October, we were awarded the NCAA championships. That was a great team building. It was so much fun for our team because so many of us had worked on it. I think those team moments are probably my favorite.
That's cool. And last but not least, Pacers or Colts?
Oof. That's not fair. let me put it this way. I play flag football, so...
I know where you're going.
but I do love basketball and I do love the Pacers.
No, that's cool. It was a tricky question. I didn't want to put you in front of this hard decision. So, Melissa, thanks a lot for joining me today. And definitely, I think audience got a lot of value. And if someone still has any questions, the listeners can get in touch with you. What's the best way to do it?
Sure. I have the longest email address on the planet. It's mthompson@indianasportscorp.org. Or you can just go to our website, which is www.indianasportscorp.org. And then kind of look me up and my email address is on there. But yeah, I'm more than happy to chat with anybody if they have questions. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun and really enjoyed our conversation. So thank you.
Yeah. As this episode is an opportunity creator, maker, call it whatever you want. On the Indiana Sports Corp, there's also a magic button called become a volunteer or something
like
this.
I'll
do a call to action and to anyone in the area, and not only, they can be from overseas, from the entire USA and so on. If you want to get involved in events in Indianapolis, just go on the website. The link to that magic button is going to be in the episode's notes. And because I truly believe that you know, the volunteering is getting that little taste of what it takes to mm-hmm. work in sports. So I would advise anyone who wants to do it, just go submit your application.
And we're not special. Most major cities, especially in the U.S. and even in and even in Europe, have sports commissions. So find your local sports commission and get involved. It's the easiest way to do it. And for us, it's the easiest way to stay engaged in what we're doing, whether you're volunteering or not, because we communicate with our volunteers all the time. So even if you're not in Indianapolis, there's probably a sports commission near you that needs your help.
Yeah. But if you want specific events that are hosted
that is true.
In Indianapolis,
that is true.
then definitely go there and check out the future events and sign up and get that ball rolling. So Melissa, thanks a lot again for joining me. This for the record, this episode is recorded between Christmas and the New Year. So I'm really excited about this one, and thanks for taking the time out of your vacation.
You're welcome.
To join me and have this this conversation. Wish you all the very best and happy holidays and a very, very successful 2021.
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
That was it for this episode. Please share it with your friends and everyone who you think will get value out of it. Also share it on all social media platforms and tag the Big E using the details from the episode notes. If you enjoyed it, leave a rate and review. Make sure you stay tuned and subscribed to not miss another episode. On behalf of the eProcast team, stay safe and see you in the next one. Peace out.